right now in this hour, you're going to be treated to something you don't hear very often. Enzo Chiodi has practically been playing banjo his entire life. He studied banjo at a conservatory style school. We'll talk about that in a moment. And most interestingly, from my perspective, he is composing new tunes for banjo in a style that's uniquely his own. Rather than my talking about it, let's have you listen to it. Here is Enzo Chiodi. Enzo Chiodi, does that have a name?
Wildwood Flower.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I kept hearing Wildwood Flower and then a little bit of Reuben James, kind of, because the melodies have some similarity. And I know a lot of what you're doing is original. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. I'm hearing kind of a blend. So you were doing some improv within it, right?
Yes. So I'm deeply inspired by older songs, folk songs, and what they can say. And I found that, like, to explore who I want to be as an artist, you have to start with what I grew up with playing and what I know and see what that can say first.
I'm glad you brought that up because some people know this, but I mean, you've been playing banjo. When did you start? Maybe five?
Four, 8 years old.
Eight years old.
Yeah.
And I mean, you were touring pretty much the world at one time. That's fair, I think.
Definitely the United, the yeah. Eastern Coast, but.
Yeah. And so and his sibling were playing banjo together. And you were, I hate to say novelty, that's not at all does you justice, but people were excited to see these siblings playing banjo together. A lot of it was more Dixieland style at the time. You went on, and I wanted to be sure we talked about this. You decided the music and went to West Virginia. Do I have that right?
I went to Ohio, Youngstown State, for undergrad, yes. So I went to the Dana School of Music and studied composition there. But it took me a long time to figure out, like, what I wanted the banjo to be in the context of my own work.
I was curious about just that because you've steeped in Dixieland and certainly exposed to bluegrass and the banjo club exposing you to all sorts of styles. And now here you are face to face getting a music degree in a conservatory style program, and it's you and your relationship with the instrument. And how did you navigate that?
I started by not navigating. I started just by, okay, I need to look into everything but banjo, like specifically not exploring the banjo. Because, when you spent your life with a specific sound in your ear, it's great because it gives you a foundation. But at some point you need to see, okay, what are other sounds? What are other things other people grew up hearing? And how can I get that into my ear and into my, whole artistic expression? And so that's where I started. I started with jazz and classical and whatever I could get my hands on, and I just explored that for as long as I could.
Were you playing or listening primarily?
Both. Playing, listening. It was during COVID too, so there was a lot of playing in your room too.
Did you pick up new instruments?
No, it was still a focus on the banjo, but it was, okay, the banjo, like what the banjo does is not a factor in what I want to do, if that makes sense.
It does. So the unique characteristics that a banjo has, suddenly you're not thinking about that so much, is the music itself.
Yeah, I had a teacher, Dave Morgan. He was my composition teacher, and he said, you have to think of the instrument as just buttons with notes. You don't think about it as like, oh, this is a specific instrument with a specific tradition, which is also good to think about, but sometimes you need to let that go and just think, okay, I have this many notes. I can reach this many notes. I can play consistently this many notes, and what can I do with that in the context of my ideas?
That's fascinating. It's almost like you have a computer in front of you and you're writing text, but no fonts. It's just the letters. All you're going to do is you've got the letters at your disposal. We'll think about, fonts and size and kerning and all of that stuff later. Get to basics.
Yeah, I would liken it. That's a really good analogy. I would liken it to language. Essentially, like, okay, instead of thinking about what language I'm using, just think about I'm going to learn this new language and try to say phrases in it, if that makes sense.
It sure does. So you did this while in Youngstown.
Yes.
And I don't know if this is answerable, but did you come to some conclusions after steeping yourself in this? Did you get some clarity, I guess?
Yeah, so I think I walked away thinking, okay, I know what the banjo isn't. What is it, though? And so after leaving Youngstown, that was kind of my question. I had left the banjo for so long that I needed to come back to it and say, okay, but it does have a tradition and people who played it and, a lot of great musicians and great music was written with it. And what is that and why is that? What about this instrument specifically? So I did have to come back to it eventually, but that took time, I guess.
Did you feel drawn to coming back to it?
Yes. It was always like in the back of my head, like, okay, I'm going to have to go back to it at some point. I'm just going to take this break right now from it and from what it means to be a banjo player for 4 years, and then come back to it and really explore what it means, you know, to grow up as a banjo player. Because I think that's the other thing, is when you grow up playing the instrument, you don't have the context of, oh, like, this is a different musical tradition than most people's musical background. So what does that, like, what does that mean to me as an artist?
Yeah, I really like the way you're explaining the story, because you have to be wondering about your relationship with the instrument. I will say sever ties. And then you find that after that period, you are still drawn by the instrument, but in new ways, which has got to feel very affirming, right? That because it's possible that you wouldn't have felt that draw
right,
at the
yeah.
end of the period.
Yeah, there was part of me at certain points I thought, oh, maybe, you know, I need to always be in this mindset, or I need to explore another instrument to really be able to express myself. But I found that I was always returning to it. I'd always pick it up and go, oh, that's always what I hear. You know, I hear it. And so it's hard to say I don't want to play that instrument, because it's what I hear. You know, it's the voice that's in my head, in a sense, if that makes, like, sense.
makes perfect sense. This is Enzo Chiodi, and you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. So when did you enter Morgantown? Or WVU?
So I didn't go to WVU.
Oh, I was thinking you did. I'm so sorry.
No, I was in Spain for the last year.
Why was I thinking WVU? That's my bad, because I've known you so long, I did not look at your bio. I don't know why I was thinking that. My apologies.
That's perfectly okay.
So your degree came from Youngstown and
yes.
then off to Spain.
Yeah.
What took you to Spain?
Yeah, that's kind of a wild story. I saw this thesis project on the mandolin, and I realized that's kind of what needs to complete my, like, I need a similar project for the banjo. I need to complete my artistic identity. I need to figure out, okay, what is the banjo now that I've figured out who I am as a player?
So you've stripped it away from yourself, you've sort of had a separation of sorts, a reuniting, and is this a master's thesis? And,
yeah.
At YSU, and then it takes you to Spain for how long?
For just a year, yeah. So I found this program, and I realized, okay, this is going to complete the story. There's still more work to do, but it's going to give me a satisfying feeling of this is, I know what the banjo is in the context of the tradition, not only just the context of me.
And can you explain the thesis of your thesis, the central the central idea you put forward?
Yeah, so my idea was to explore all aspects of the banjo, to look into the five string, to look into clawhammer, to look into tenor players, to look into Irish tenor, and not completely, you know, cover all of that ground, but to cherry pick, to find everything that I could and say, oh, that right there, that means something to me. That's something I want to have in my compositions and eventually in my improvisation, something that just comes out of me the way tenor banjo playing comes out of me. And so, so that I explored Bella Fleck, of course, and other great players like Tyler Jackson, who's a great tenor player, Don Vappi, another great tenor player, Tony Trischka, Noam Pikelny, all these great five-string tenor players tried to figure out, okay, what are they doing that's so compelling on their banjo? Because that's one of the things that's interesting about the banjo. It's not one, as you know, it's not one instrument. It's sort of like this term that encompasses all these different traditions that broke off in the United States.
And it's fascinating, actually, because usually we'll see anthologies of clawhammer or anthologies of five-string banjo or Dixieland-style banjo or maybe jazz. But so you looked at all of those different varieties or the ones you chose. You made no claim to be all-encompassing. Would be very hard. But how interesting. So this survey you did of styles of banjo playing and people playing those styles that appealed to you, that has to be a great paper. Is it available for people?
I don't think it's available yet, but it probably in 2 years it'll be on on the website. But I think the paper is decent. I think the takeaway though is the artwork that comes from it, the compositions and what I got out of it and what I can write with it. I'm not sure if somebody read the paper if they could trace my steps, but they would have to do the same work. They couldn't say, "Oh, I can do this just by reading." They would have to do the same work in the practice room and in the exploration and talking to people. And
so it's more that it's almost like a journal of your experiences and your studies in Spain and learning about, listening to, and maybe even playing in these styles is what has informed your work as a composer and player.
Yeah. So I know you said playing. A lot of it was playing. I played some Punch Brothers. I played so many different, you know, genres that don't apply to this banjo, just to figure out, okay, how does that apply to me? So in the end, it just comes down to playing eventually, I think.
What a great approach. We're going to get back to music in a second, but just while we're still on the topic, why Spain? Was there an institute? I mean, Spain's beautiful. I would love to go to Spain, but was there a draw there, an institute? Or?
Yeah, so I went for Berkeley. I didn't go for Spain in particular.
Okay.
But sometimes it's hard to find programs in the U.S. that are truly that open-minded, and one of the beautiful things about being in a different country was that there was no assumptions of what I should sound like on my instrument. Most of my teachers knew, they knew Bella Fleck and maybe the Punch Brothers, if that. They knew next to nothing of banjo music or American folk music, and why should they? They're all from either Spain or from South America, and so I got to explore what is this instrument. Again, it was like, okay, I'm exploring what this instrument is, but they also can tell me on a very non-biased way. They can say what's good and what's not good.
The reset that you started here, you could easily continue there because there was no preconceived notion, except
right.
Maybe for Bela Fleck, but there was no preconceived notion of things. That's fascinating. And it sounds like you're really glad that you did it.
Yeah. So it's great to come home and explore the compositions back in a city that knows and appreciates the banjo and you know, bring that home, bring those ideas.
Excellent. Well, and so Quixote is here, and We'll talk more about where he's going to be playing. And actually, he'll be at our Solar Concert Series this Thursday at 12:15. What would you like to play next?
I'm going to play a piece of mine called Daily Life.
And so, Quixote, and that song, Daily Life, and
yes.
It's mesmerizing to listen to these tunes. As you play them, I gather you're improvising, or you're not playing them the same way every
yeah.
time. Have you... there's a paragraph switch here. I'm sorry because I'm moving to a different thought. I'm trying to think of places for your music. Not that it necessarily has to have places, but I can hear films and soundtracks. And are you thinking about things like that at all?
Not necessarily. I have heard that before. I think a lot of times what I'm inspired by are people who really can, in the moment, say what they feel. And so avenues, live performances, places that let me explore that space is generally what I'm trying to work towards.
So playing live and getting... feedback, maybe, whether it be simply by an attentive audience or maybe even verbal reactions to what you're playing. Are you playing with other musicians at all?
Yeah, so on the Solar Fest, I'll be playing with a drummer. And we played together for, played together in undergrad, and so we played together for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, because the interplay has got to be exciting when you do that.
Yeah, I think it's a big part of what makes the music extra special. Extra special is the people you play with.
So Enzo is going to be, again, our solar concert series. I may have given the date wrong because it's wrong on the sheet in front of me. So let me get the date correct. It's August 21st, our solar concert series at 12:15. Here on the north side, it'll be at Buell Community Park, just upstairs and outside of our studios. And then you're going to be at Allegheny Brewing on the north side on Thursday, September 17th. And, you know, the sweaty already bluegrass group that's there frequently and other, they're establishing a new tradition for acoustic music on Wednesdays so people can get a chance to hear you there. Do you busk at all? I know you used to back in the day.
A little.
You're not going to get necessarily an attentive audience.
Sometimes you do. It depends on the space. I think that's truly what it comes down to. Believe it or not, sometimes farmers markets and spaces like that where people are more interested are kind of really fun to go and play. But maybe just going out in the street depends on the day and depends on the space.
What about things like weddings or functions that just want to have? I was at a function yesterday, and part of it was an artist working with people to create a mosaic. And this artist really transformed the space because of the interactions that she was having with people and the way they were reacting to what she was doing. I guess I'm thinking about ways to mix it up with you and other people because I can tell you really like that.
Yeah, so I play a lot of solo private events and some private events with duos. Mostly I do private events solo. But yeah, it's always fun to do something like that.
I bet. And I know you had some albums. I don't know if you have anything recorded now.
I don't.
In your new your new style, but I hope you will at some point. What's the best way? Is it Instagram the best way to keep in touch with you?
Yes, Instagram. I have a website now, which is just Enzo Chiodi Banjo. If anybody wants to visit that, that's a great way. I'm starting Facebook presence. I've always been slow to the social media.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, some Facebook. But the best way to reach me is honestly through my website. You can contact me through email.
So it's Enzo Chiodi Banjo.
Yeah, and I post my upcoming shows on there too.
Excellent. If you're just joining us, Enzo Chiodi is here. We've been talking a lot about the music because it defies simple explanation, in my opinion. Not because it's that complicated, but because you're taking a road very less traveled in terms. The banjo, I don't know if it's more so than any instrument, but there are so many tropes and styles and practices that one makes. You just make assumptions about the instrument, and you've erased them all and are doing something unique and your own. And you've got a few more examples to share. What would you like to play next?
I'd actually like to play something that's not mine. I'd like to go back to maybe back to the assumptions, play something that kind of fits in all the worlds of banjo. It's Red Wing, the song Red Wing. And so I'd like to play that in almost a tenor style.
Oh, nice. Here again is Enzo Chiodi. Enzo Chiodi, who was singing Union Maid as you listen to that? Anybody? If you were, you were singing a lot faster than I can. What a great rendition of Red Wing, and that is not sure I've ever heard it played faster, but I love the juxtaposition of the finger picking and then those lower strums. I hope you know what I mean, but those lower...
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a train whistle as you're playing those. That had to be fun. How do you work out something like that? It's got to take some time. I mean, it sounds perfect, but I can't imagine what the recipe is. How do you figure out this is the way you want to play it?
I don't think there's like one way to figure out. Like, I don't sit down, oh, I want to play it this way, I want to play it that way. It's more comes down to what I'm hearing. And so a lot of times I love mandolin players and I love the way they play more lead lines. They don't play so much chord melody, even though our instruments are so similar. And so I want to get that in there, but I also love clawhammer. So I think what you were talking, do you mind if I?
Please.
I think you were talking about the.
Yeah.
I love the way they strum and strike the low strings with so much force.
So you were kind of, I don't mind advertising my ignorance, you kind of had a five-string part mixed with a clawhammer part.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just a...
yeah.
It's all just a pick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good catch. He was holding up a pick, and you didn't realize that. But usually, you'll hear a banjo player play in one style or the other, and you've combined those styles. Am I right about that?
I think so. I don't know if I'm ready to say, oh, I've combined them, but I think I've given them the respect they deserve.
I may be analyzing your playing too much.
I think that's fine. I think that's what I have been doing too. And I think so. That's sort of the idea. Okay, these great players, people like Rhianna Gibbons, and listening to players like that, where they mastered Clawhammer, and I'm never gonna get the full spectrum of what they can do with Clawhammer style banjo, but I want to get a little bit of that show, get a little bit of that sound, give them, get that sound into my playing, because I think it's very cool, and also think it, needs to be heard more.
Yeah, that helps me understand it or reflect on it much better, because you're doing this incredibly fast finger picking that almost to me sounds like something you could do on a guitar or on a mandolin. But then it was the clawhammer part that resonated so much with me, but it never occurred to me that it was a clawhammer type of sound. And so Coyote is who's with us. I think we're going to have time for a couple more if you're up for that.
Yeah. So this is, I want to change directions on you again. This is another song of mine, but this is definitely more inspired by Bela Fleck and a lot of his music it's my own thing, so it's completely different, but I've been listening to a lot of his music lately, especially the My Bluegrass Heart album.
Yeah, it's a good album.
And so this is a song of mine called Dandelion. Thank you.
dandelion. And so, Coyote, I probably should have asked you this at the very beginning. You've got a four-string banjo. And who made it? Or is there any history?
It's a Ludwig banjo.
I didn't know Ludwig made banjos. Yeah,
they did at one point.
They're known for drums. They don't make them anymore, do they?
No, I don't believe so. This is from the 30s. This one from around like 1931. It's actually a student model, but it's one of the best sounding banjos I've ever heard,
in my opinion. Great. Yeah. And I'm sure you play other instruments or other banjos, five string.
Yeah, I play some five string too.
Are you limited without having the fifth string? Or you can tell I'm not a banjo player.
Yeah. But no, that's fine, because actually I think you're very limited on the tenor in some ways. I mean, in some ways it's great, but actually I think there's a lot of limitations, especially when you're trying to get a five string sound. And one of the big limitations is how tense the strings are. They are not easy to press down, and they are not easy to get a loud sound out of. So I have experimented with finger picks on the tenor, and it actually just never sounds that great because the finger picks don't draw the sound out of the instrument the way you need it to.
So all of the strings have more tension.
Yeah.
And I guess it's the shorter neck that does that?
It's tuned very high, and it's the neck length on top of that. You know, it's the same tuning as the viola, but it's twice the size of the neck.
Yet, it still it's still an instrument to play, despite those drawbacks. There's still
Well,
sound.
There's what it can do is, one, it projects better than almost any string instrument out there. And it has a lot of it has a lot of great those types of effects, those very fast or just simply tremolos. And that's the natural sound, you know, that's the tradition that it comes from.
So you almost hear those mandolin-type fast rhythms and the guitar-like runs.
It's fascinating because it's not a mandolin in the sense that mandolin players play more, you know, those types of melodies, those types of feeling, but a tenor player, you know, tremolos the full chords. Trying to think of a good Red Wing is a great song to show that a mandolin player would play that very differently than a tenor player.
We need a show like called Talking Banjo. We'll get you and Joe Depp to just talk about banjo for hours and hours.
Well, we'll be the only ones listening.
Yeah. It's a fun instrument. We'll get Sue Powers to weigh in on it. All of Pittsburgh's, there is a show of that name. It's called The Banjo Club at the Allegheny Elks every Wednesday night. It's just not broadcast. We've time for one more. Is there anything else you wanted to say that we haven't talked about? Or I want to be sure it's Enzo Coyote Music. .com is how people can reach
Enzo
you.
Banjo.com.
Oh, banjo. Enzo Coyote Banjo.com.
But if you look up my name, there's not many Enzo Coyotes, so.
Yeah, probably Enzo Banjo would even do it.
Yeah.
But anything else you wanted to mention at all?
I don't think so.
Are you giving lessons?
Yeah, I give five string, four string, and some mandolin lessons.
Well, there's do you do them in person or Zoom or both?
Both.
Okay,
so it depends on what. In person's better, I think, but if people need Zoom, I'm perfectly willing to. Yeah.
It's good to know. There may well be somebody listening who's curious about learning how to play the banjo, and I can't think of a better person to teach you because, as you've heard, if you've been with us all the whole hour, Enzo knows the banjo inside and out. What would you like to close up with?
So I'd like to close up with a song of mine called Doorway Dance, and it's inspired by the way they play banjo in New Orleans. It's not, again, it's, you know, a different sound because I'm a different player, but I tried to encapsulate some of that, like, from great players like Don Vappy, and so Doorway Dance.
Doorway Dance. Enzo, Chiodi, thank you for being with us. You can see and hear Enzo coming up August 21st, Thursday, at 12:15 at our Solar Concert Series. Thursday, August 21st, 12:15 at Buell Community Park on the north side, just upstairs from our studios in front of Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. And so also we'll be at Allegheny Brewing Thursday, September 17th from 6:30 to 9:30. And EnzoChiodiBanjo.com is how you can get in touch with him.